Thank you for having me. It's a real blessing to be able to preach God's word and to be present with you all this morning. Would you all mind standing with me as we read God's word? This is the reading of God's word, as it comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. And in Jesus' teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said to him, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she has, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. As Pastor Michael said, I am currently looking for chaplain work in the hospital. So I'm grateful for any opportunity. I've been a chaplain for a couple of years now, and haven't had as many opportunities to speak from the pulpit. So I'm always, I was telling Pastor Michael, I'm very curious to know how my preaching is going to change. So please bear with me as you discover that. But in our current times, we live in such a world of division, and so much of it is people arguing from different perspectives and not being able to communicate and not being able to come together. Like, from whether you're looking at what's happening in Gaza and what's happened in Israel, or even down over here, I live in Alameda County. You know, our government and how we are arguing in the public sphere over how we should govern and keep our streets safe and provide a place where we can live. Or maybe you're looking at the news and seeing our country sorely divided every day between these two political parties. Often people who want to have a safe and good America coming together with these different views. And these perceptions are clashing, and the way that we perceive what we value most and what we should value most differs so starkly. And in many ways, when we come to this passage, that's what we're looking at. These different perceptions of what value is. In particular, as it pertains to sacrifice. You know, I think that's a really important question for us as Christians. Like, what is sacrifice, and what does it mean for us? It sounds like a basic question, but it's such an important question. I think Jesus addresses it here as he tells us to sacrifice for love. And we're going to see this in our 3 points. First, paper. We'll look at the grandiose lifestyle of the scribes, as well as the lavish gifts of these wealthy contributors to the church. Secondly, we'll talk about pennies. Look in particular about this example, this woman that Jesus observes giving everything that she has. The third, profit. And we'll see and kind of turn our eyes to what it means for us on this side of eternity as we try to follow Jesus and try to understand sacrifice and what it looks like in our lives. So again, paper, pennies, and profit. Let's get into it. You know, as we come into the book of Mark, I think it's really important that we understand a couple things about how to read the book of Mark. You know, the book of Mark is usually, you know, seen as answering two major questions, right? The first question is, who is Jesus? And secondly, what has he come to do? Who is Jesus and what has he come to do? And then the other thing that's really important for us to know is, like, when you read through the book of Mark, if you notice, you could probably read through the book of Mark within one sitting, because everything happens so quickly. It's like boom, 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 scene to scene to scene. Jesus is here, Jesus is there, Jesus goes this, Jesus does that, Jesus says this, right? So in many ways, you could look at it like, you know, they didn't have television back then. Obviously, they had theater. So in a sense, it's kind of like a movie. So the book of Mark moves in these different scenes. And when it slows down and it concentrates on things like words that people say, it's only right for us to kind of slow down as well and pay attention. And that's kind of what's happening here, as Jesus is already on his way to the cross. He's at the temple. He's been meeting with people, you know, talking about, oh, what is the greatest commandment? Oh, you know, what do you believe about this, Jesus? And he's stirring things up. You know, and that is the case here as he talks about these religious folks, these people who serve the church. Today we call them pastors. And here he makes these observations about these pastors, right? These scribes who walk in long robes, who like greetings in the marketplace. In other words, they like to be seen in public. They like to have these nice clothes. Well, a tweed jacket, I suppose. They like to have these feasts of honor. But yet Jesus also says they devour the houses of widows. In other words, they're not people who serve the church, the public. They're really people who like to look as if they're serving the church and providing the service for society, but they're really people who abuse, I guess in our modern terms, their power and their privilege. I mean, those are two pretty popular and loaded words in society today, right? Power and privilege. And here, there's this exercise of pastoral privilege. Pastoral power. I used to serve in Korean churches in LA and up here as well. So I've seen how sometimes, you know, there's pastors who are offered, oh, pastor, come, it's lunchtime, cut in line over here. Oh, pastor, you know, what are we going to do here? Pastor, they all follow you, right? Like the way I used to pastor and run our church meetings too, it was often reflected that way. I would say, like, okay, so we have these things coming up on the docket, on the calendar. What do you guys want to do? Well, what do you want to do, Pastor? No. What do you want? No, what do you want to do? There's this deferential treatment of these pastors. And here we have these scribes who take advantage of it. And they utilize their privilege to bolster themselves. You know, I like to say that we all have different kinds of power and privilege. We all have them. They all look different in every sphere with every relationship that we have, but we all have them. Whether it be socioeconomic relationship, whether it be between different races of people, friends that we have, you know, when we have power, the more power that you have, it amplifies who you are and what you value. The question is, how do you use your power and your privilege? How do you use your power and your privilege? I mean, look, I get the idea that we want to use power and privilege to kind of quench our desires, right? We're creaturely beings, right? Like, I didn't get this big eating vegetables. I like to eat meat. Right? I have those desires to eat meat. Right? I have desires to look good, to dress well. I have desire for other people to perceive me well. Right? That's part of our creaturely desires. And in some ways, I empathize with these scribes because they are trying to look their best for the part that they play in society. But as Jesus says, it came at the cost of widows, at the cost of their integrity. And I utilize this as a segue into the main part of our passage, which brings us to our second point, pennies. You know, Jesus challenges us in our faith to ask what sacrifice is when he observes what's going on in the temple and the offering. He gives this contrast of those who give from their wealth and this widow who gives from her poverty. These who are wealthy, who give paper money, stuffing them in the boxes, probably, large sums for people to see and to acknowledge. Maybe they're the kind of people who, in some churches, would have a reserved seat in the front. Or maybe they have particular power and privilege within what they would want for the church. And they're not afraid to say it, perhaps. And in some sense, it falls into the way that we perceive often power and privilege and what's important in society. We want to look up to somebody who has power, who has privilege, who has wealth, who has all the cachet. We like to look at beautiful movie stars. We like to follow wonderful music groups. We love reading everything about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Right? We idolize them. We have a whole show called American Idol. So there are certain things that we find important in society in terms of appearance. And here, it wouldn't behoove you to think that these people who are giving these large sums of money are people who appear to be important, people who should be revered and listened to. But yet Jesus looks at this poor widow. It's so contrarian and so interesting. He looks at this poor widow, this woman who is vulnerable, this woman who is alone. Does she have children? No, it doesn't go into that. But, you know, we know that she is one of the poor, one without very much power or privilege in society. She's helpless. She can't vote. She can't even testify in court. She's part of the lower class. She's helpless. She's weak. And all she has are two copper coins, which equal a penny, to live on. Now, she was nobody. Nobody to society. Probably nobody to her peers. But she was somebody to Jesus. Jesus says that she pours out her whole life in that offering box. You know, if you think about it in terms of proportions, right? And this is where Jesus is reframing our idea of wealth and power and privilege. What would $20 be to somebody who makes $120,000 a year? What would $1,000 be for somebody who makes $250,000 a year? What would $100,000 be to somebody who is worth $2.5 billion? And yet, so many people often look at how much money is put into the box and not the proportion of what it means for their lives. I think we all do it, don't we? Like we learn, if we grew up in church, we learn that, oh, we give, our parents give us coins to put in the offering boxes. It's not even our money. So then what are we really learning about our offering and what we're giving and how we give? But these are really, really good questions to come back to. I mean, it sounds really basic, but there are things that we could think about here that Jesus is pointing out. For this woman, this was everything. There is no emergency fund. There is no extra, you know, money from her equity accounts. This is all she has. This is all there is. And she says to God here, what does that mean? Yeah, I have a pastor friend who's out in Marin. He says that we like to focus on the poverty of what we don't have instead of the wealth that we do. I have no doubt that Jesus, as he's seeing this woman give out of all that she has, pouring herself out as he's getting ready to go to the cross, he sees himself in her. This one who nobody in society sees or cares about, he sees himself. And he knows that he will pour himself out on the cross. You know, in our world, in our society, how do we view Jesus? You know, often you meet a lot of people who would see Jesus' value as pennies. But for the Christian, Jesus is everything. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for sacrifice on our end? Well, that brings us to our last point, profit. And I'm just going to start off saying, you know, often we like to think about investments as things that we put money into, as like gasoline to stoke a fire, right? We're looking for a return. We're looking for something for us. And I would say that there's some legitimacy to that, right? Just the way that we see money today. And even for Jesus, it says in Hebrews 12 that it's for the joy that was set before him that he went to the cross. So there was this hope, this value that Jesus had, that he was willing to give up his life for. Something that he was willing to pour himself out for. Something that was worth it. Something that was beyond him. And when I think about that, in terms of the abstract Christian living part of it, that's scary. It gives me anxiety. It traumatizes me thinking back to these ideas about poverty righteousness all of a sudden, which I don't believe in, by the way. I don't recommend that you believe in that either. But there is risk in relationship, risk to our finance, risk to our lives. And in some ways, it sounds silly, but it reminds me of this idea, like, if you're learning how to swim, let me ask you this. Does it do you any good for me to give you a bookshelf full of books to teach you how to swim. Versus going into the water, which may give you anxiety, which is putting yourself at risk, which may seem overwhelming. See, there's this threshold that we have in our hearts that we need to work out for ourselves. What does that sacrifice mean for us? What does the sacrifice look like in our lives? Can we drink the cup that Jesus passes to us? Can we bear the cross that Jesus gives, that Jesus bears? No, we can't. No, we can't. So let's start there. You can't be doing what Jesus does because you're not Jesus. There's only one of him. Thank God. So I'm not telling you to be Jesus in the same way. But I am saying that we should always come back to these questions. What does it mean to be a good neighbor? What does it mean to be in relationship with people who don't believe the same things that we believe in? What does it mean when Jesus commands us to make disciples? What does it mean for you? Who are your friends? Who are your coworkers? Who are your relationships that you have? Are you willing to take a risk in developing those relationships, to investing in them, pouring yourself out in other people so that perhaps there is that hope of joy that they would know Jesus through you? Because I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, you are the intersecting point between God and these people who don't know God. It's you. You know, when we pray for our non-believer friends, God, please bring somebody. Please bring somebody into their lives so that they may know Jesus. Maybe God is saying that that's you. Maybe that prayer has already been answered. These are things that we need to think about, and that cost of risk in our relationships. What does it mean to give and serve when you don't have but 2 pennies in your pocket? I don't know. Does it mean giving your time? Your energy? These are questions for you, not for me, right? What does that look like for you? I'm being a chaplain now. Right? What does that mean for you? Where are your boundaries? You know, the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, there's this beautiful passage in the beginning where Paul talks about how God has given us the fullness of the inheritance through Jesus. I think maybe sometimes we're afraid to give because we feel there's so little from us to give. But I think that that's also a mistake in our perception. We're not just giving from us, but we're giving from the vault of riches that God has given us. Because that's our inheritance. That's what he paid for. That's what he died for. The way in which we serve and love, the way in which we sacrifice, does it profit God? And it's not something that should be a burden, but rather a joy, because we're sharing from the riches of all that he's given us and promised us. I think that if we think that way more often, then perhaps it might be a little bit easier. That even though the world sees it as pennies, it's the fortune of God, the riches of heaven, the wealth of his storehouses for us in the world. Now there's a fullness in God's love in that. Now, brothers and sisters, to sacrifice, it's not just working so that you would profit, or it's loving others. It's loving others, sacrificing for love. giving for love, for the hope of something greater. I think that's a really beautiful way of thinking about it. What does it profit us? Yeah, we have the great fortune of God, but it profits us every time that we can celebrate, that we could be together, that we could grow, that we could be like this widow and think about how we perceive our sacrifice and how that can glorify God. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this passage, these reflections. I know that they can be very challenging for us. But I pray, Lord, that you would ease us, that you would make us understand and see that we give not just out of our poverty, but out of your great wealth that you've given us through Jesus. Bless us, Lord. Be with us, encourage us, and let us see with new eyes what it means to love and sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.